Welcome everyone to the West Print Sports Review here on Planet FM, and this show is proudly brought to you by West Print. They're based at 9 Prairie Street in New London. Their number is 09 827 8531. Their email is westprint.co.nz. And I'd just like to say a very, very good afternoon to everyone. Well, it was good while it was last to be in the studio for all a couple of weeks, but you know, it is what it is. So it'll be a shortened show today, but we're going to be talking a lot, and I've got a hot cup of tea beside me, and as is my first up guest, Noel Barkley. So we're going to discuss a bit of football, myself, and then Sean Summerfield and I are going to discuss a lot of what's happening in the sporting world, and then I'm also going to inform the listeners of what's going to be happening in the future. So we might as well kick it off. He's been enjoying himself at the Black Clash, larging it up on hospitality, and probably it deserves so as well too. He's former All Whites, Noel Barkley. Good afternoon to you, Noel.
Good afternoon, Eamon, and I have to say I'm a convert to the Black Clash. It's my first one, and I have to admit that I was a bit sceptical about a bunch of rugby and cricket players. Some of them passed a YouTube idea, maybe, and I was completely wrong. It was very, very entertaining, and some very good cricketers. Kieran Reid, my goodness, it was just amazing to see him play. And of course, Brendan McCullum, absolutely on form. And, yeah, look, 10,000 people, great atmosphere, lots of great music being played. And we went down there, obviously, to promote the Women's Cricket World Cup. We had a bit of an activation, and everybody was pumped. And, yeah, the news yesterday sort of taken the wind out of our sails, but we're forever hopeful.
Yep, absolutely, no. And, of course, let's be positive in this time, Noel, because, you know, there's a lot of events which could be on hold, but we're hoping the Women's Cricket World Cup goes ahead. Well, we might as well rip into it right now. This Premier League, I still believe, is open. Some of the results over the weekend means that Liverpool have still got a very, very slight chance of catching the leaders of Manchester City. Some of the results to start off with: Manchester City 1, Southampton 1. That's a result none of us saw happening of.
Yeah, and to be fair, it was, they were well worth the point. Maybe could have got two. I know Sterling missed a couple of sitters, which is not unusual for him, but Southampton looked really good. They sort of put City off their usual sort of routine, and last week I would have said it's all over, and of course City dropped points. Liverpool go and win at Palace. I thought that might have been a banana skin, and here they are, you know, all their players coming back from the Africa Championships, and they're still in touch. So yeah, not quite over just yet.
Yeah, and of course, a result on the other side of Manchester. Well, they left everything to the last minute, but a 1-0 win over West Ham. Well, I tell you what, you take a last second win over West Ham, then a nil or draw. And you know what? Manchester United, for the first time in a while, even though there are people behind them, are now in the top four.
Incredible, really. What a must-win game that was. I mean, it was a bit dour, but the old traffic faithful really got behind the team, and yeah, I mean, I haven't heard the crowd as loud as that in a long time. They really needed to give the team a lift. Decent West Ham side, very even game really, and a goal in Fergie time, and I have to admit that I was very, very concerned about what VAR was going to come up with, because Cavani looked right up there. He was certainly, parts of his body were over the line. Evidently, that doesn't matter anymore. So, yeah, look, great result. Table looks completely different today. And we got tough games to come. Tottenham have got tough games to come. They're probably the biggest risk. But certainly, good to see a decent performance and a clean sheet.
Yeah, well, and I think it's very, very important as we head into the crunch part of the season, which we're in a few months' time. Aston Villa, Stevie Gerrard at Aston Villa still keeps performing results. 1-0 win over Everton now. Everton could be heading into a relegation battle. Noel, this was surprising because with all the money and all the talent they've got, there would have to be major concerns at Everton.
Yeah, absolutely, and even Leeds a little bit. They're sort of sliding into the same problem. Of course, not helped with the fact that most of the bottom teams on the weekend, apart from Watford, you know, got points. Newcastle, I mean, you'd expect them to lose at Leeds, and they're going to win. So, and evidently, Chris Wood had a decent game in that game in terms of his aerial abilities. He won more aerial duels than all of the other players on the pitch put together. So, don't read into anybody saying he didn't have a good game. So, look, yeah, look, Everton in trouble, really, really in trouble. £1 billion spent, and you know, no further on, and still don't have a manager this at this point. So, yeah, look, pretty scary that for that club.
Yeah, and of course, we speak about Chris Wood. Newcastle won, Leeds nil. That's a good win away. That's a good win away for Newcastle, and it probably gives them confidence because, you know, they're stuck in a relegation battle. Chris Wood did have a very, very good game. Yet to be on the score sheet, but I can see him being scoring some vital goals as the season goes on for Newcastle. And I have to say that, you know, Eddie Howe would have a bit of a smile on his face.
Yeah, big. Look, I mean, that's only their second win, so they'll be absolutely delighted. I mean, Chris Wood is more than just a finisher. You know, he's a hold-up player. He's good in the air. He's a handful physically. He runs in the channel, and all of those things as a striker is great for people behind him. So he's a different sort of player than Callum Wilson, which is he's very much more of a finisher in the box. And I think he'll do a lot of work, and the manager will know the work that he's doing. And he may not have scored in his first two games, but I'm pretty sure that he'll get one sooner or later, and hopefully it's a big goal and deciding goal wins a game, and they'll just love him in Newcastle.
And of course, Wolves, they've actually been quite surprising, but they're doing quite well. They had a 2-0 win over Brentford, so that's a good result. Liverpool looked outstanding against Crystal Palace. No.
Yeah, I mean, the Wolves was an interesting one. That's a big win for them. They're actually right behind in that group, you know. I mean, you couldn't rule them out of fourth at this point. And, they played really, really well. Liverpool had a really tough game. Palace are obviously a lot better than what they have been. Patrick Vieira has got them playing some good football. And, you know, 2-1, they were 2-1 down, chasing it, lots of chances, and then Liverpool get a very dodgy penalty. In fact, it wasn't dodgy, it was never a penalty in a million years, but and that killed the game for them. Good win on paper, that's for sure.
Of course, some of the other results, Leicester won, Brighton won, Arsenal 0, Burnley 0. Now, for Sean Dyche, that point away is actually quite vital when we're looking at that scrap at the bottom end of the Premiership table.
Yeah, and vital, vital for Burnley, absolutely, but a disaster for Arsenal to, you know, can't beat the bottom team. They missed an absolute pile of chances, should have scored, missed a few sitters, and what a point for Burnley. But that's the problem with Arsenal. They do tend to drop points in the games that they should win, and it keeps them in that pack, that hunting pack for that fourth spot.
And of course, Chelsea 2, Spurs 0. Good win by Chelsea that keeps their firmly in that in the top three of the table. And you know, I can't see them dropping out of that top four. But that was a win because they haven't really been on form, Chelsea, and I think this gives them a bit more confidence as well too, heading into the later part of the season.
Yeah, they hadn't won in four in the league, which is pretty amazing, really, when you think of the squad that they've got. But now they've beaten Spurs four times out of four. That game really never looked in any doubt. Although I have to say that the Harry Kane penalty, the goal was disallowed for pushing. Silva looked a bit dodgy. On first view, it looked like a push, and then you see it from behind, and it doesn't really look like a push at all. So, but I think Chelsea would have won. Ziyech scored an absolute pearler And Chelsea looked sharp, like really, really sharp in that game. And yeah, Spurs they got a good 11, but they just got nothing on the bench. And Conte is screaming at Daniel Levy and trying to get him to spend some money in January, but historically they haven't really done that. So good luck to him.
Yeah, and of course, and then we head closer to home. We'll start off with the W League now. Fortunately, the poor old Phoenix, they're not having any luck, but there is improvement. And, you know, this is our women's A-League side. And you know what? At some point, there's got to be luck turned their way. But Adelaide won the Wellington Phoenix nil in the W League.
Yeah, I mean, I think people can forgive them. You know, as a team that was put together, you know, 11th hour, and you know, big jump in class for most of those players, and practically all of those players, very young. They'll have a bond, and they'll be better for the experience. They'll get a point, or they'll get a win sooner or later. I don't think the results is the big thing. I think the fact that they are, you know, losing, you know, respectably, and you know, 1-0 is not the end of the world for a team that's in development. It's basically a bunch of kids, let's be honest. So I think they've shown themselves to be resilient, and that's probably as much as we can expect at this point. The preparation was not great, and they're all living away from home, and it can't be easy. So, yeah, good on them. It's good to see them keeping going.
And of course, on the men's side, of course, the Phoenix 2, Western United 1, and I have to say one of the better games I've seen them play. We've got the two new imports. A new import has come in, and he looks the biz. And of course, Gary Hooker. Well, he's a proven goal scorer now.
Yeah, two good goals. Import. Yeah, I mean it's early days, but what a way to start on your debut, scoring in a 2-1 win. And yeah, I mean it's funny old A-League. You know, you can win a couple of games, and you can go from sort of ninth to sort of sixth. And all of a sudden, they've jumped up the table, and you know, not far away from the top six. As are Sydney, of course, they've had a terrible start of the season. They're seventh, so a game for them tomorrow night against Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, and of course, that's a good win for them. As we just said, a couple of wins, it means you're back in the hunt. And of course, the two Melbourne teams are at the top end of the table, the Victory and Melbourne City. And of course, during the week, the All White squad was named for the matches coming up this weekend against Uzbekistan and Jordan. And you know, some omissions: Libby Kadachi and Nico Kerwin and Matt Garbutt all have club commitments, because the simple reason is that UEFA and many means UEFA clubs do not actually recognise this transfer window. Great to see Chris Wood has made himself available. And, of course, a recall for Logan Rogerson, who I've always thought when he was at the Phoenix was a very, very good young player.
I'm very pleased for him, because he's an exciting talent. I mean, I saw him play a few games live at Auckland City, and he looked the part. And I wasn't surprised that he got offers to go and play overseas and get a contract. So, and I know Danny likes him, and there's every opportunity for him to, you know, push his way in. Anybody that's, you know, playing in the front three and can score goals is sort of sought after at the minute. We've got, obviously, Chris Wood. I always have this fear about what happens when he's not available, which is about to happen, of course, for those early qualifying games, or he gets injured. So, yeah, look, it's good to see him in. And I think Kerwin's, his team, Padova, are their second in the league pushing for promotion. So there's probably a little bit of that stuff going on there, and gives Danny a chance to look at some of the others.
Yeah, and of course, I was listening to another podcast during the week from what Danny Hay was saying. The situation with Matt Garbutt is that he's coming very, very close to the Torino first team, which would be huge to actually, to be in part of a Serie A squad and maybe make his debut for Torino. So that would just be huge news. And of course, there is a rumour going round, and we were speaking off air, a rumour going around about All Whites midfielder Joe Bell at the present time, Barnsley have put in an offer which is likely to be rejected by Viking FK. He has been monitored by two Bundesliga clubs and an unnamed Premier League club. Now, this news, if this is true, and by the sounds of it, the person in Norway who has put this out on Twitter is a reliable source, and they're saying that this could be on the money. This would be a huge move. Noel.
Yeah, very exciting for Joe. You know, if it's EPL or Bundesliga, one of those would be fine. I personally would hope he doesn't go to Barnsley. No disrespect to Barnsley supporters, but I think that's just a little bit industrial for his level of skill and technique. I think he's better than that. I think he can play at the very top of the Championship or, you know, mid-table EPL teams. He's class, and Bundesliga is a bit slower. That might suit him, but I quite like him in a fast game. I think he's got quick feet. He can pass short and long, and I think he'll be able to cope with either of those things. But they're talking, you know, maybe up to 10 million euros for him. You know, it's 20,000 of our dollars, so it's 20 million of our dollars. It's a big transfer fee. It's probably the second biggest after Woodsy, I would imagine. So yeah, what a talent, and future All-White captain and leader for sure.
And of course, that goes on with some of what will be happening and as we head towards not only these friendly internationals, but the qualifying, the Oceania qualifying, hopefully that playoff game in June, which, to be quite frank with you, I think I'm hoping it's Panama, but if it's Mexico, I'm not that worried because I think this All-White side has got the talent in a one-off game to come through, Noel.
Yeah, I guess we'll know after that. There's a couple of games, I think, isn't there, this window? I think we'll know after those two games how it's going to look. Although it's still very tight, those top four. It could almost be anybody. Canada, US. I mean, you wouldn't really want Canada or the US. But, you know, one-off game, you know, I think it's just going to be it's going to be. We're not playing Argentina or Brazil or one of those lots. So, yeah, North America definitely better no matter who it is.
Yep, I'd have to say that. Well, Noel, let's hope you have a good rest of the week and, you know, stay safe. And I hope things are well on the, as the Deputy Mayor of Waiheke Island. As you know, last week I was speaking to the Mayor of Waiheke Island, who I'm going to get on from time to time because he gives me a bit of a rev up and puts me in my place, which sometimes I probably deserve. And have a great rest of the week, and hopefully we will be able to talk in the next week or so, Noel.
Good. Looking forward to the international test for sure, and a couple of good games for the All Whites, and that'll give us another good spin on how they're progressing.
Certainly will, Noel. Well, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Noel Barkley. So we're going to head to a bit of music, and then we're going to hopefully have at the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox. We're going to talk about anything. We're going to talk about motorsports. We're going to talk about Winter Olympics, the Black Clash, what's going to happen in this new red light environment. Anyway, let's get a bit of music and then we'll just head into it.
Yeah!
Welcome, everyone, back to the West Sprint Sports Review here on Planet FM. And, of course, we have the mature part of the show and the interesting part of the show. It is the silver tongue, silver fox, Sean Summerfield. And I have to say Happy New Year to you, my old mate, and I hope that you had a great Christmas and a great New Year. We're now back into a different part of life, so it's good to hear your wonderful dulcet tones, Mr. Summerfield.
And you, yourself, Mr. Hullacy, and thanks for having me back for another year, although that said, the last time we talked, we were at the red light anyway. So when our dear leader, old Roxanne, put on the red light again yesterday, we're just back where we were, so she's all good.
It's all good, you know, but I think the big thing is, Sean, I think we're just going to have to get used to this, you know. We don't find this pandemic finds us, and I think, you know, as we just said, I think we just get on with it and we just move ahead and we keep sports the main influence, you know, and because it is, we're going to go through some hard times, but the main thing is, let's stay positive. And talking about positive motorsports, a big move for Marcus Armstrong and Liam Lawson in the F2, Sean.
Yeah, a bit of a swapsies, I suppose, in a way, with Marcus taking Liam's spot at Hi-Tech. And I don't know, I always got the impression that wasn't quite happy for Liam. Stuff I just heard, scuttlebutt I heard around the traps, it might have been the people running a specific car and whatnot, that it wasn't as good as it could have been. There was a lot of silly mistakes, and I don't think we saw the best of Liam. But Marcus, obviously, not as successful a season as Liam, although he did get a couple of really good results. He was a Ferrari junior driver driving for Dams, who aren't quite the powerhouse team they were previously, but they're a strong sort of minor formulas team, and he was there as part of the Ferrari Junior Academy, which he's now no longer in. So that sort of time in his life, after about 4 years with that team in the Ferrari Driver Academy, that's finished. Now he's sort of out on his own driving at Hi-Tech. And look, Hi-Tech have helped, you know, other drivers through in the past. George Russell, Nikita Mazepin. George Russell is going to be a big star waiting to see this year. But so they're not a bad operation. He's just got to get the right guys on his car, the right guys and girls on his car, the right spanners. But I am truly excited about Liam's move to Carlin. They're not a Formula One team, and no worries if you've never heard of them, Eamon, but they are phenomenal. And there was actually links, old Murray Taylor, the famous broadcaster in New Zealand, he was actually involved with Trevor Carlin back in Murray's team. Now, remember, Murray, believe it or not, ran people like Ayrton Senna in Formula 3 years back. So there's a nice New Zealand link there, but the real link, Sebastian Vettel, Daniel Ricciardo, Kevin Magnussen, Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris have all driven for Carlin. I reckon almost half of the current Formula One grid have driven for Carlin. So Liam is going into the right team here. They're a really cool operation and probably excited about that.
And, of course, the main thing is when we speak about Liam Lawson, it's not if he's going to drive Formula One, it's a matter of when he's going to drive it. And this move puts Liam, basically, it's kind of like putting a footballer in the shop window. A good F2 season, I believe, will put Liam Lawson in Formula One the following season, Sean.
It's like when they send a young player, they move him around the country in Super Rugby and they put him in the Crusaders. You know they want him to do well. But that's the way Liam's going, and we're obviously getting to fans, or the ones, the people that can be at the races from now on if you get a chance. But in the South Island at Highlands and Ruapuna, they've actually got to see Liam driving the Rodan F-Zed, which is, if you haven't heard of this car, so it was based on a Formula One car from about 10 years ago built by Lotus. and the project never took off. The idea was that you, if you had the wherewithal, you could come and buy yourself one of these cars, be taught how to drive it, and go and do Formula One style laps. It never took off, so Mr. Dicker took the bought the rights to New Zealand. They've kept working on this car and changing things. They're doing all sorts with the car, and he's got an amazing setup in North Canterbury, own track in the works, and he's pushing on with this project. And a big sponsor and big supporter of Liam in his quest to make Formula One. And Liam's been driving the car, and he can't set a lap record because you can only set a lap record in a race. But he has been taking 2 or 3 seconds off the fastest lap times at these circuits. So I think it's pretty cool for people to see.
And, of course, anyone that could actually witness seeing Liam Lawson drive, you know, that's our next guy in Formula One. And, you know, if anyone ever gets that opportunity, they can say in years to come, because we all know what a talent this guy is. And, you know, we're possibly talking about a future Formula One champion. We might be slightly getting ahead of ourselves, Sean, but anyone that could see him driving, that would be something you tell your kids about.
And then we're going to know early on in this season how he's looking at Carlin. You can't be a Red Bull driver unless you've got proper chops. So he's there for a reason. So it's just a really cool situation. And it's funny, I'm talking about almost like the past tense because going to the red light, but New Zealand motorsport, it's quite a cool season right now. We've had the bad news with the New Zealand Grand Prix can't happen because of drivers unable to make it here. But the 286 Championship's happening, and they've got this new Super GT series aiming, so you've got some amazing supercars, as in not V8 supercars, but actual supercars like Porsches and McLarens and whatnot, out racing on the tracks in a new series. So that's added some real magic, I think, to the tracks over summer. But just fingers crossed, by the time we get to next season, people can come to New Zealand and the Grand Prix's back.
Yeah, and that's what we won. And of course, you know, I think we were lucky last year that we didn't have to at this time last year we were able to get these events ahead, and hopefully sooner rather than later we can get back to business sports, because motorsport's up and running. But you know what, motorsports people in this country, they don't wait; they just go ahead and they just do it, Sean.
Yeah, and I just because I knew I was talking to you, Eamon, I went and had a listen. I'm hearing beeps on the phone. Is that me or Eamon? I'll keep talking here in case I'm on. I'm just going to fill the holes over.
Apologies to everyone. You know, when you got the phone handheld, sometimes these things happen. And apologies to you too, Sean, because we're in the middle of talking about motorsports. But for goodness sake, these things happen. So you know what, it happens. And but just getting back to what I was saying, motorsports people just get up. They get there and they and they do it. You know, they don't make indecisions. They get in and they get it sorted.
Yeah, and I will actually, I can share with you a bit of information. I've heard the word that they have got a contingency in place that the summer season will continue under the red light. So there will obviously be restrictions on numbers, but there is coverage of the races that conveniently screens on a wee TV show that I do at CRC Motorsport on 3, but they are going to continue with the season, which is really cool.
Yeah, well, that sounds brilliant. Hey, just one thing. Did he watch the Black Clash the other night?
I was a bit late to it because we had my daughters had sleepovers and stuff, so I was playing, you know, referee. But I did get to see the team rugby's innings, and it was awesome. Kieran Reid, mate, I tell you, he's a beautiful striker of the ball, isn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant, isn't he? It's hard to believe. You know, some of these guys, they're just talented sports people. Like, I have a look at Geordie Barrett now. If he said he wanted to play cricket for New Zealand, I don't think he'd be too far off at the Black Caps side, Sean.
No, you did on there, and there's a lot of them like that, and I know. Gosh, when Brendan McCullum was back at high school at King's College in Dunedin, he was also a rep rugby player.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of these guys are talented with the bat and ball. And, but I thought it was really, really enjoyable. Watching Stephen Fleming try to stretch out, he's only a little bit older than me. I thought, good, I'm not the only one that slowed down. But it was just an awesome sporting event. And looking at the fans around there, I thought rather a poignant finish to that brief touch of what life can be like. But it just looked like an awesome, awesome event to be at. I know people get a bit, you know, touchy about the alternative cricket commentary, but I was enjoyable. And I heard someone talking this morning about the Dumbledore comment about Dan Vittori, and I thought,
oh, for fuck's sake. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. I didn't realise I was on air, so I just want to apologise. There was a bit of bad language there, so I just want to apologise to our listeners in the station.
I missed it.
Unfortunately, these things happen. So I hope. So I just want to really, really apologise. So getting back to that Black Clash, basically, it's good, you know. It gives people, like, people going to sports events, you know. We are going to be, you know, looking at the future ahead, Sean, with Super Rugby, the Women's World Cup. We are going to have crowds, but it's going to be limited.
Oh, yeah. But look, it's only for a finite time, I think, now. I think we're seeing. I honestly reckon that, you know, we'll be chatting in a year's time, and I think things should be back to a bit of normal, whatever normal was. But you know, in the meantime, if that was the highlight of a sporting summer from a fan's point of view, it was really enjoyable. And the amount, the way it was relaxed, and I've got to say they did a great job altogether of talking about the alternative cricket commentary before, but it was just great. And Kieran Reid, when he's relaxed and he hasn't got the rugby spin doctors around and telling him what to say and him being worried about what he's saying, it was just awesome. It was everything that's good about sport. And it was just a really enjoyable event to watch. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Well, looking ahead to how this, well, we've been under it before, but I think with events like the cricket, the Women's Cricket World Cup, Super Rugby, but we speak about events like this where there is going to be limited crowds, and, you know, for some of these Super Rugby franchises, they're not going to make the money with the crowds, but there will still be some crowd participation there. But I'm also thinking about some of the events that, you know, in Auckland, that, like, we've had Round the Bays, which has been going since 1972. Now, this event would be, if it runs, it will be its 50th year. Now, I was speaking to one of the initiators at my local cafe, and I'm hoping to get him on. But, you know, you really hope that soon as we're over this, we can get back to a bit of sports and a bit of living and a bit of events, Sean.
Oh, exactly. And, oh, gosh, at least in the meantime, we can watch Kiwis competing overseas, can't we? And although I was just reminded we were thinking about what we're talking about today and looking at the Winter Olympics, I didn't realise that, you know, we have maybe up to 14 in our team, 13 at the moment, and that's a big team. I didn't realise how small we still were at the Winter Olympics. We're not Jamaica, but, you know, I suppose the small team that can, especially with Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott, but it seems quite bizarre that these events are happening around the world now as we're closing.
Yeah, and you think about it, we've not only got here, you've got Nico Porteous, you've got the younger Robinson in the freestyle skiing. You know, there's a good opportunity of us possibly getting our first Winter Olympics gold medal. And that would be huge. And, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, snowboarding or, you know, is not a sport. Well, you know, I spoke to someone who was involved in that, and they just said, actually, the training they have to do is damn hard.
Oh, look, well and truly. And you know, it's a big effort, commitment. They can't, it's limited how, because of seasons, how long they can train in New Zealand. They have to get around the world. And, And Winter Olympics, okay, sure, I don't find the biathlon that entertaining, but, you know, it's hard not to, you walk past a TV screen and there's some half pipe or even giant slalom, whatever happening, and it's, you just can't help but watch it. It's exciting stuff. And I'm going to say it right now, Eamon, I've been busted watching the curling. I find that quite enthralling, believe it or not.
And of course, Sean, unfortunately, there won't be a New Zealand representation there. Young Brett Sargon, who's previously been on this show, unfortunately, they missed out. But curling, it's got a huge following.
It has. It's actually a very, very good TV sport. But you know, there's a lot of cool things. I think the Winter Olympics is interesting because I think the X Games have the Winter X Games has helped. I think the Winter Olympics a bit and given it a bit of coolness because it was always a little bit off to its side compared to the Summer Games and whatnot. Obviously, it's limited by geography and that as well. But, you know, it is fantastic. And, look, I know how we flipped over when Koberger won our first medal and it was such a big deal. And I'm hoping that this team do some magic and I'm thinking they're actually looking pretty good, mate.
Yeah, well, and it would be good, and especially the times we're going to be in, where there's probably not going to be great news, but it will give us some give us some, you know, some something to take our minds off what's happening out there. And, you know, one thing about sports, it takes your mind off things and you enjoy it. It gives you a bit of, when things aren't probably not sounding too good, it gives you that release away from what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why sport is special.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, we've had a few goes at this today, and I have to say it was fantastic to go it on. Yet again, I would like to apologise to our listeners. Yeah, there was a bit of bad language, and I do really, really apologise. It's unbecoming of this show, and it's unbecoming of me as well, too. So my humblest apologies, Sean. You have a great rest of the week, and we will catch up in a few weeks' time. And enjoy the rest of the week, mate.
Cheers, you too, brother.
Okay, we'll get a bit of music going, and then I'll tell you what's happening. Welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Review here. And we're just going to do a final wrap-up of the show today. I just want to thank Michelle, our wonderful producer, that was able to put the show together with myself and, of course, Noel Barkley and Sean Summerfield. We've had a bit of a testing day, but, you know, these things are going to happen in these times. I would just like to give everyone an update on what's going to be happening. Well, I've made a decision this Monday, we won't be doing a live show because, you know, it's anniversary day. But we're hoping to have a pre-recorded show on Waitangi Day Observation, where we'll be speaking about Super Bowl. We hopefully will get back Mark Watson on air. We'll also hopefully be able to speak to Jeff Simpson again, if available, and Noel Barkley. Also we will have a few more things. Looking ahead, we're hoping to have AJ back for the Super Rugby season. I know he won't be available for a couple of weeks, but I've got someone special in his place. And NRL, well, we will hopefully have an expert on NRL, and, you know, we'll try and move ahead. I just want to say something in closing the show. I made the quote, this pandemic, we don't go looking for this pandemic finds us. And from time to time, depending on how bad, or if we're lucky to avoid this, at time to time there may not be a sports show, and we hope that we can deliver a sports show here at Planet FM, because I feel sports is important. I'm saying to every New Zealander, I'm not going to use the word be kind, but I'm also going to say the words be decent, and, you know, be patient, and let's try and get through this. And we will try and deliver a good sports show to you. And I just want to thank everyone at Planet FM that made this show possible today. It's a shortened show. I hope everyone has enjoyed it. And I hope to catch us all in a couple of Mondays' time. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for coming home. Sorry that the chairs are all warm. I left them here, I could have sworn. These are my salad days, slowly being eaten away. Just another play for today. Oh, but I'm proud of you, but I'm proud of you. Nothing left to make me feel.
To return. Baby.